morning is taken from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and then reading from 13 to 25. Freedom in Christ. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, this morning, some of our young people are rejoicing in a sense of newfound freedom. You may think there's not many young people here this morning. They're, in fact, practicing for the youth service next week down at Quakers Road. But I know Thomas behind me is rejoicing in newfound freedom. Matt Bryden's another one, because they've finished their A-levels or GCSEs. So it's all over. They've got 3 months to relax and take things easy until those results come out, of course. Oh, for three-month holidays. Do you remember those times, some of you? This is a long time ago. Well, that may not be our current experience, but I guess for each of us, there are different ways in which we experience a degree of freedom. I had a conversation with someone fairly recently who just paid off their very last mortgage payment, and the sense of release at having that particular debt cleared is very evident. Maybe for some of you, you've had the experience of leaving a job that had become rather restrictive and burdensome, something that you weren't actually enjoying anymore. And even making that decision to move on was a freeing experience. Maybe for some here, you've had to make a choice at some point in your life to end an oppressive relationship, a painful choice, but one that has brought freedoms. I'd imagine that all of us here in different ways have experienced freedoms. So I just encourage you, just for a moment or two, just to turn to the person next to you and give each other an example of some way in which you feel you've experienced freedom in your life. Go for it. Okay, let's draw back together. We like that idea of freedom, don't we? And of course, the greatest freedom that we can ever know is experienced through Jesus. Knowing that we're accepted, knowing that we're loved, knowing that we're forgiven, and that we don't have to prove ourselves anymore. I remember as a 16-year-old when I first discovered that truth for myself. The Apostle Paul was keenly aware of the freedom that Jesus had brought. If you think about his own life experience and all of the changes, the transformation that faith in Christ had brought to him. And so he was able to write to the church in Galatia this wonderful verse. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. In all that I say in these next 15 minutes or so, if there's only one thing that remains, I hope it's the words of that verse, etched on your mind, a memory verse, so to speak. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. The essence, in one sense, of this verse is very simple. It's about not going back. That would be true in some of the situations we mentioned at the start, and very relevant to the Galatian Christians that Paul is addressing. Because these Galatian believers, these Gentile Galatian believers, had found freedom. They'd accepted Christ. They'd been given a fresh start. But as Paul writes to them, they're all caught up in a debate, an important debate. And it's as to whether they needed to obey all of the tenets of the Jewish law, especially around whether they needed to be circumcised as new believers. And Paul is banging his head in frustration. If you watch The Simpsons, it'd be one of those duh moments. Because they failed to grasp that in Christ, they don't need to follow all the old rules and meet all the ritual requirements. They've been set free from all of that. They're saved by God's grace, not by law. And in the Jewish law, of course, there were literally hundreds of commandments that people were expected to fulfill. And yet, for the Christian believer, the emphasis is changed. You don't need to go back. And Paul wants those Christians to know that they've been freed from any idea that they had to adhere to a set of rules to earn God's favour. Circumcision, a physical sign of buying into the whole of the law. But Jesus had brought this new emphasis. Living for God wasn't dependent and isn't dependent on a tick list of obedience. It's a response to what God himself has done, sending Jesus to live and die for us. And that theme has been picked up so strongly in the songs that we've sung already this morning. So Paul's quick to emphasize to Gentile Christians in Galatia, you're free from the confines of historic Judaism. Faith is now rooted in grace rather than law, so don't go back. Christ's work opens up for you the possibility and the reality of freedom from guilt, from condemnation and despair. As Paul would write in one of his other letters to the church in Rome, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But what have they been freed for? Verse 13 spoke of not using your freedom to indulge the flesh. In other words, not doing what you want when you want. That's not the sort of freedom that Paul is speaking of or that Jesus brings. He continues, rather, serve one another in love. Serve one another humbly in love. What a fantastic phrase. Our focus here in recent weeks has been on the life cycle of sowing, of growing, of pruning and bearing fruit. And that phrase, serving one another humbly in love, expresses pretty succinctly God's desire for our relationships with one another. It'll be unpacked later in the description of the fruit of the Spirit. Tonight we've got a service here, as many of you will have seen on the pew sheet, of healing and wholeness. And the emphasis is of seeing God's healing experienced in many different ways. It might be through physical healing and the sense of freedom that brings. It might be about a release from spiritual bondage, maybe about emotional freedom. But it's important as we think about healing that the emphasis goes far beyond seeing people get better. Because as we experience healing and greater wholeness in our lives, we're set free to grow and bear fruit, to move on. We're set free to serve one another humbly in love. Serve one another within the Christian community, but serve one another also in wider society. We're free to live our lives as God intended. Don't go back. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You can't imagine any butterfly wishing it could go back to being a chrysalis. You can't imagine anyone who's just endured hours sitting in roadworks near Almondsbury Interchange wanting to exchange their newfound freedom on the open road for more roadworks. With many eyes on South Africa at the moment, with Nelson Mandela's failing health, you may be aware that today Barack Obama is planning to visit Robben Island, where Mandela was held for 18 years, a place that actually symbolises freedom. And the concern in that nation is that with the passing of an era, that there might be retreat into old ways again. And that sort of thing simply must not happen. As Mandela himself once said, "We have waited too long for our freedom." A quote that could be applied to Christians in any age. We've waited too long for the freedom that Christ has brought. So now let's revel in it and live out the benefits of it. Freedom to live the life God intended for us. And if the idea of retreating into a law-based faith was one danger for believers in Galatia and believers today, so Paul goes on to highlight another as he speaks about lifestyle change. The old way of life of a list of sinful and self-serving behaviours is contrasted with the new way of living. The way of freedom, expressing the characteristics of new life, the fruit of the Spirit. And again, the message is don't go back. You used to be like this, but now you're like this. And his mantra this time is keep in step with the Spirit. As we experience the freedom that Christ offers, so the Spirit equips us for that new way of living. God's transformation comes and it continues to come. Don't get lazy. Don't go back. Amongst the congregation here this morning, there's plenty of us who've been Christians for a long time. For me, I gave my life to Christ 30 years ago this summer. And it's very easy, as we get caught up in church life over the years with the various traditions and rituals of whatever denomination we find ourselves in, to lose the vitality and the joy of the Christian message. To start adding other things in to the salvation equation. Becoming almost legalistic in our approach to faith. Adding in expectations of ourselves or of others which go beyond the reach of Jesus' message. Equally, it's very easy, isn't it, to slip back into old ways. Getting drawn back into unhelpful habits. Patterns of behaviour. To allow selfishness or pride or jealousy or envy to reclaim a foothold in our lives. If that happens, the vitality of our faith is restricted. Our witness is undermined. And we devalue what Christ has done for us. And so this morning, it's good just to pause and reflect on what Christ has done for us. All that his death and resurrection has achieved for us. So just think for a few moments, are there areas of our lives where we need to just pause, reflect, repent, and refocus that we might serve one another humbly in love and keep in step with the Spirit? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Amen. And in our next song, which we'll sing in a few moments' time, there's